From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you, and welcome to the program. It's good to be with you as we continue our study of the Ten Commandments, coming today to the third commandment, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. First, however, let me take a moment to remind you of how to make contact with us. We're always glad to hear from our listeners and to know how the Lord is blessing His word to your hearts. Over the past months, I have mentioned various resources on tape, CD, and print. And if you'd like to receive any of these, or if you'd simply wish to comment on a program, you may write or call us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. And don't forget to visit our website, ltbsradio.com. And there you'll find audio files of our broadcasts and printable text files of all our commentaries. We look forward to you getting in touch. The American government has long claimed that North Korea funds itself by drug dealing and the laundering of fake US notes. Now England's prestigious Daily Telegraph has reported from South Korea that opposition members of parliament there have provided proof of that claim. The MPs cited the testimony of a high-level defector from North Korea, a high-ranking official of Kim Jong-il's communist regime. They also showed a satellite photograph of the plant that printed the forged bills, along with samples of high-quality fake $100 bills that they claimed had been passed to them by human rights activists working with North Korean refugees in Dandong on the Chinese border. The forged notes were laundered in China. The South Korean government is engaged in a policy of détente with its northern neighbor and is reluctant to arouse its anger. So it will not condemn the North for its forgery operation, claiming that there's no firm evidence as to the origin of the fake bills and the identity of the forgers. As you would expect, the North Korean regime denies the charge entirely. However, the evidence of its guilt is pretty overwhelming. The quality of the forgery, the photograph of the print factory, the testimony of the high-level defector, the possession of the bills by North Korean refugees in China, all point in the same direction. This is no small-time operation. It has the North Korean government's fingerprints all over it. Now, this story set me thinking. Forgery is really a despicable action. It's the worst of con tricks, played by unscrupulous liars who will do anything, either to enrich themselves or to hurt other people. But the forgery of U.S. dollar bills is far from the worst form of forgery. For centuries, Satan has had an endless succession of his ministers pose as ministers of Christ, and they have forged the currency of the kingdom of God. These men come to unsuspecting souls with what they claim is the gospel of Christ. They pretend to speak for God, and they suck millions into their deceptive scheme. Just as the North Korean forgers want unsuspecting people to believe that the U.S. Treasury stands behind the bills that they have faked, so Satan's ministers delude unsuspecting souls into believing that the God of glory stands behind their religious dogma. They delude people into accepting the devil's lies as God's truth and try to make the way to hell look like the way to heaven. A glance at church history will show how successful such spiritual forgery has been. For the centuries of the Dark Ages, the deception was so complete that few people ever heard of the gospel. Thankfully, the Protestant Reformation was used of God to change all that. But now a new darkness has come upon the world, and once again the devil's forgers are hard at work, passing off what the Bible calls damnable heresies, heresies of destruction, as divine truth. Be careful whom you believe. Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Make sure that you accept nothing but the pure coin of the realm of the kingdom of God. Fake religion may seem to serve for a time, just as laundered forgeries may pass off for a while. But in the judgment day, any other gospel than the gospel of free justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, will fail you. Make sure that you are not among the multitude of whom the Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity."
Away my burden.
continuing our look at the third commandment, we consider today the real meaning of this commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord demands that we give him the glory that is due to his name, and he threatens judgment upon every wicked or frivolous insult to that name.
Men think very lightly of taking the Lord's name in vain. But God doesn't. Men pass over this carelessly. I was reading of a case in Britain not very long ago where a blasphemy law was invoked. You must understand that under British law, blasphemy is still a crime, though the law is very rarely invoked. And by definition, blasphemy can only be committed against the God of the Bible. And when a man was brought before the court on that law, the London Times, perhaps the most prestigious newspaper in Europe, has stated that the modern Englishman is philosophically incapable of understanding the crime of blasphemy. Men carelessly pass this over, but God says he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 58 and 9, he says, if thou wilt not observe to do the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. In other words, the Lord will visit you with amazing plagues of judgment. And he says they will be of long continuance. Clearly then, we should understand the scope and the application of the prohibition and the precept in the third commandment. Let me sum it all up very simply for you, what this commandment is all about. The Lord demands, let me emphasize the word, the Lord demands that we give him the glory that is due to his name. And he threatens judgment on all wicked or frivolous insults to that name. I want to take this tonight in a very simple, straightforward way. First, I want to note that the Lord has been graciously pleased to reveal himself to us. He has given us his name with all that that connotes. When you stop to think of it, of all the gifts of divine revelation, this surely is the greatest. This is the essence indeed of everything that the Almighty has ever revealed to man. Without this, every other revelation would be utterly meaningless. He has revealed to us his name. He has not left us in the dark as to who he is and what he is. He has not left us to human speculation. He has not left us to the tender mercies of the philosophers and the theologians. He has given us a revelation from heaven, not only of his works, but of himself. He has given us his name, so that we know that God is, and we know what God is. We take this Bible, we find that he is a personal, holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We find that He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. That He is holy and good and true and just. His very names in Scripture tell us much of Himself. The name God that we use in English has as its basic meaning the idea that God is good. We call Him God because He is intrinsically the good one. The Hebrew names similarly are full of meaning. He is El or Elohim. He is the strong and the mighty one, the one to be feared, the one to be worshipped. He is the El Shaddai, the Almighty, the loving provider for all His creatures. He is Adonai, our Master and our Governor. He is the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And of course, He is Jehovah, the great, eternal I Am. The eternal God who has entered into covenant relations in grace with His people, and thus He reveals Himself as Jehovah our righteousness, Jehovah our holiness, Jehovah our peace, Jehovah our provider, Jehovah our shepherd, Jehovah our healer, Jehovah our companion, the God who is always there. We know much of what God is, for He has given us His name. He has revealed Himself in His works. The psalmist says in the 75th Psalm, verse 1, that Thy name is near, Thy wondrous works declare. You remember how Paul used that truth in Romans 1, verses 19 and 20. He says, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. That's in the whole world of the Gentile unbelievers. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, because the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. When you look to the heavens, remember, they are, as the psalmist said, Thy heavens. The works that Thy fingers have made. Men of science tend to look at the cosmos, and they tell us of the wonders that they find. They develop their theories, but they can never get beyond their mere theories. A Christian can never look at the cosmos and simply say, what a wonderful, wonderful universe. We must go beyond the creation to the Creator. These are God's heavens. And in them we see His eternal power and Godhead. So Paul says, they are without excuse. He's revealed Himself in His works. He has revealed Himself in His Word. That more sure word of prophecy that Peter spoke about. When Jesus said, search the Scriptures, He gave the reason, they testify of Me. He's revealed Himself in His Word. But most of all, He has revealed Himself in His Son. One of the greatest verses in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. When I say that most of all, God has revealed Himself in His Son, I need to emphasize that the revelation of God in His Son cannot and must not be separated from His revelation in Scripture. I mean simply that the fullness of the biblical revelation is in Christ. When you come to Matthew 17 and 5, you see the picture in the Mount of Transfiguration. There Christ had taken His disciples with Him up onto the mountain. He was transfigured before them. Moses and Elijah appeared there with them on the mountain. Peter, as usual, overcome, impetuously said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. Not knowing what he said. It's usually a very dangerous thing to be saying when you don't know what you're saying. Then the Lord spoke from heaven. And this is what we read. A bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Here is the pinnacle of Bible revelation. Here is the fullness of all that God ever intended to reveal to man of Himself. The very Word of God incarnate, in whom we see the full-blown glory of eternal deity. Because He is the brightness of the Father's glory. He is the express image of the Father's person. He is God manifested in the flesh. What a revelation of God we have in Christ. The Lord has given us the law and the prophets. But now He has given us this full light of glory in His Son. And describing that revelation, we read in John 1:14, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have every reason to fear truth. We have every reason to tremble at the truth of God. Truth will unmask the full depravity of our nature. Truth will rip aside the facade with which we so easily cover up our sins, even from our own consciences. Truth will show us what we are as God sees us, and will expose us to the flaming judgment of God in His Word, in His inflexible judgment and justice. We have every reason to fear truth. But thank God, with truth, He combines grace.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.